Explore Australia radio show with your host, Mike Holt.
Hello everyone. This week I'd like to talk about citizens-initiated referendums, because that's what I will be standing for in the next election when I stand as an independent Senate candidate. Preparations for my campaign are well underway, but I am still looking for applications to manage my campaign. I'm looking for a campaign manager who will be prepared to travel and set up meetings and do all the other things that a campaign manager does. I already have one person who has applied, but she can't travel. However, I'm sure she will be a great asset during the campaign because she's very knowledgeable and very passionate. So I'm looking for more people who are knowledgeable about politics and about the Islamic problem and passionate. As usual, Islam continues to cause problems around the world, not the least the Facebook admins who sit in their comfortable air-conditioned desks in Morocco. Now, I've seen a meme going around the internet showing this, and I didn't really believe it. After all, let's face it, Facebook was started by a Jew, so why would he appoint a whole bunch of Muslims to administer Facebook? But in this crazy world we live in today, that's exactly what happens. Mark Zuckerberg appears to have sold out to the Muslims because they now sit there and they are attacking Patriots' Facebook pages. In the last 2 weeks, I've had five Facebook accounts closed down. Four of those I still cannot get access to, and the latest one that I set up was shut down for about 24 hours while they demanded further proof that I am me. I sent them a copy of my passport. That wasn't good enough. I had to send them a copy of my driver's license. Then they accepted it. Now, this is quite strange, because when they said they didn't accept my passport, they told me that it was the picture that they could not see. But that's very strange, because my picture is very clear. Now, on another account I tried to reopen, I sent in the ID as requested, but this time I sent in my driver's license first. Guess what? They came back and said the picture on my driver's license wasn't clear enough. Could I send some other ID? And then I sent my passport. So it appears equipment, or whatever it is that they use to check IDs, is actually demanding two forms of ID in separate emails so that they can double check. But they're too damn slimy and slippery and lying scumbags to admit this. So that's what they do. Facebook, you are a disgrace. And if we had any other alternative, I, for one, would certainly move there. Let's listen to a song by Crowded House. There Goes God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
talked about how our government is not behaving correctly, not following our constitution, and a lot of people are asking, well, why not? How can they get away with that? Well, the fact is, our government is committing treason against itself because it is not acting according to the will of the people. We elect the government to act for us, to protect us, to work for us, but when they don't, that is treason. They are representing their own agenda. And that's contrary to what the people of the Commonwealth voted them in for while sitting in our Parliament of the Commonwealth House. That Parliament House belongs to us, to we the people. Now, let's examine what exactly has happened. In 1973, Parliament passed an act called Acts Interpretation Act. It changed constitutional definitions without a referendum and Crown authority, creating their own private Australia. And in that act, Commonwealth means their Commonwealth of Australia, now registered in Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not too sure about this registered in Washington, D.C. I have seen an entity registered. I've seen the papers. But I don't think that this is what they actually meant to do to overtake our Constitution. But let's go on, because there's a lot of discussion about this and it really is irrelevant. The fact is that they changed the Constitution without a referendum and without Crown authority. Now, the Crown, of course, is Queen Elizabeth II, and I'll get to her very shortly. Also in 1973, Act number 99, they brought out the Australian Citizenship Act. And this created a seal and oath for Australian citizens as entities. Apparently, and again I'm not too sure about this, the seal is registered in America. Why they would do that I have no idea, but this is what some people are claiming. And while I have seen the company registration, the private corporation registration in America, I don't think it has any legal standing here, but of course that's the whole point, isn't it? None of this has any legal standing if they do not ask we the people to vote in a referendum. Now, Act number 114, also in 1973, was the Royal Style and Titles Act. And that various words and titles and things for use by the Australian government and created by the Australian government without the approval of the people. They created their own God, not being nature's God, but the God of the Australian Parliament. The Governor General of Australia, he has never been the Australian Governor General, he's always been the Queen of England's Governor General. The Royal Great Seal, Government of Australia, Elizabeth R., the Queen of Australia, the Great Seal of Australia, and the Parliament of Australia. All of these were created by the Royal Styles and Titles Act of 1973. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Who is the Queen of Australia? Well, as I've pointed out before, the Queen of Australia doesn't actually exist because the Queen of England was originally also the Queen of Australia. But the 1988 Act actually dissolved that relationship, and the Queen herself has said she has nothing to do with Australia. We are a sovereign nation. But somebody seems to have forgotten to point out to her that we never actually had a referendum on whether we should become a sovereign nation, which would of course necessitate us becoming a republic. So who is the Queen of Australia? Well, the only one that I can think of is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Now, the Statute Law Revision Act of 1973, Act number 216, and the Statute Law Revision Act of 1974, Act number 20, replaced the Great Seal of the Commonwealth with Great Seal of Australia. and they removed the Royal Style and Titles Act of 1953, and therefore removed the lawful enacting manner and form of Crown authority, royal assent. The definition of Commonwealth, which is clear and unchallengeable, according to the express wording of the preamble and the first six clauses of the Imperial Act, clearly state that the Australian Constitution is actually part of the British Constitution. The first six acts are still part of the British Constitution. Now, the state governors and premiers joined the treason by agreement of the Australia Act's Request Act 1985, but not the people of the Commonwealth. We were not asked. The state governors and premiers did this themselves. Now, you're beginning to see why we have such a problem with our government. Can you see why our government is acting illegally? It does not represent we the people, and yet we continue to elect these political parties. We are being dictated to by political parties. Boy, do we have a problem. Is this all starting to sound queer? Well, before I go on, let's have a listen to a song by Garbage called Queer.
Yeah.
Now, the state governors and premiers joined with the federal so-called government in 1985 and 1986 to bring about the Australia Act. This is what it stated. The Australia Act is an act to bring constitutional arrangements affecting the Commonwealth and the states into conformity with the status of the Commonwealth of Australia, listen to this, as a sovereign, independent and federal nation. Whereas the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth and the premiers of the states at conferences held in Canberra on 24 and 25 June 1982 and 21 June 1984 agreed on the taking of certain measures to bring constitutional arrangements affecting the Commonwealth and the states into conformity with the status of the Commonwealth of Australia as a sovereign, independent and federal nation. Now, to have the status of a sovereign, independent and federal nation, it means that we are either a dictatorship or a republic. I think it's pretty clear what we actually do have, considering we've just lived through two coups in the last 5 years. So we, the people of the Commonwealth, in conjunction and with the authority of the Crown, became a constitutional monarchy, and our primary law is the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act of 1901. That is proclaimed and gazetted and enforces us as a constitutional monarchy. So the political party's Commonwealth of Australia status as a sovereign, independent and federal nation have bluntly told you that they are either a dictatorship or a republic. They went on to say that an Australian court means a court of a state or any other court of Australia or of a territory other than the High Court. And a court includes a judge, judicial officer, or other person acting judicially. Acting judicially includes their totally corrupt federal and state police, the political party security agency, all lower than a snake's belly. Now, this is not a reflection on the good men and women of the Australian Federal Police or on the state police themselves, because we're talking here about the organisation set up by this treasonous government. The political party's appointed Chief Justice of Australia tells us we do so against the backdrop of the supremacy of Parliament. So we have a parliamentary dictatorship. The Australian courts use common law in the political party's Australia, where we, the people of the Commonwealth, have no rights. And this is why they can do what they're doing, because you, that's we the people, have no rights. They pretend that common law in Australia doesn't exist. It's in fairyland. Companies don't have common law as they are created by statute, and so are governed by statute, and yet we are governed by private corporations. You only have to look at your rates notice to see that the local council, which is not even a third tier of government, has an ABN. Look at the documents coming from the federal and state governments. They also have ABNs. They are the government. They should not need to have an ABN stating that they are a private corporation. They are supposed to be acting for we the people. You can see now why Restore Australia is working so hard to change our constitution, section 128, which luckily our founding fathers included in at the last moment. Now, section 128 allows only we the people to amend our constitution by voting in a referendum. The political parties can't do it. Only you and I can change our constitution. So why can't we? Why haven't we? Well, the problem is, first of all, our founding fathers made a very grave mistake when they wrote our first constitution. They only allowed the politicians to start a referendum. And they are not doing the job, are they? Out of the 44 referendums that we have been asked to vote in, only 8 have passed. What happened to the others? They were rejected because the bills submitted for referendum were written by the political parties and would have only benefited the political parties. It would have entrenched their power. The last one that was attempted during the last election, federal election, was going to ask us if we would approve local councils as a third tier of government. Luckily for them, they took that out just before we went to the polls because they knew that we would vote against it. There was a very strong movement throughout Australia against this referendum. So they took it out because they know that if we had rejected this idea a third time, they could never have a referendum again. So they thought, oh, well, we'll reject it now, we'll withdraw it now, and then we'll try again later on after we've made more changes to the federal government and state government system so that we would become completely disenfranchised. Is this the kind of Australia that you want to live in, my fellow Australians? It's certainly not the kind of Australia I want. That is why I am going to run as an independent Senate candidate for Queensland in the next election. And I ask you, in the meantime, before we go to the polls, to go to your local, to your federal member and ask for a copy of our constitution. It's very thin, it's very easy to read, and it's very thin because there's almost nothing in it. Read it and you will see what I mean. All it does is establish a framework for setting up a government. The Constitution doesn't mention a Prime Minister or the powers that should limit one, nor does it mention political parties. Our founding fathers set up the federal government on the same lines as the Westminster system, which already used political parties, so they saw no need to enshrine political parties within the Constitution, which is lucky for us because we don't have to get rid of the parties, we can just make them irrelevant. How can we do that? Well, we need to get citizens-initiated referendums. That is, the power to start a referendum in the hands of all voters. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? I think it's time to have a quick break because these are very weighty matters. Let's listen to Mighty Mo and see what he's up to today.
Mighty Mo!
G'day everyone, welcome back to Mighty Mo. And it's the annual fair in Mecca. People have come from all over Arabia to celebrate their religious holidays, and I'll tell you what, there's plenty of them. There's a heap of religions here in Mecca. And Mighty Mo is there, trying to convince people that he is the last great prophet, but his case is not bolstered by having a great hairy Aussie hanging around. So let's pop back into his tent and listen to what these two reprobates are discussing.
Infidel, I am growing tired of your company. Every time visitors come into my tent and see you sitting there with your drop-dead beautiful wife, anorexic, they forget they are here to celebrate a religious holiday. How can I convert people to my new religion, Islam, if your wife distracts them?
Well, I gotta tell you, mate, me and the missus have got a bit bored here too. Watching you chop off the occasional head is fun, but Anna has been complaining she can't get the blood out of me clothes. Look at me. I look like I'm in a polka dot clown suit.
Yes, well, I guess that's understandable. With your face, you do look funny, so you must expect people to look and laugh.
Hey? Hey, listen, that's enough of that, mate. I'm leaving.
Yes, dear listener. Foster's best mate has been busy out at the markets buying up all the dates he could. Now he's got a caravan full of them. And he's been out buying a brand new Holden FJ Camel to tow the caravan.
G'day there, mate. Hey, I found a beaut FJ. Look at her. Ain't she a pearler? Oh, well done, Bluey. Are you all packed up and ready to go? Yeah, mate, all packed up. But I reckon you'll need to buy another caravan. All of stuff that Anna's been buying.
Oh, dear me. That bloody woman just can't walk past the shop, eh, mate?
Ha ha! I reckon. Ah, here she comes now.
Yoo-hoo! Foster, love! Look at all the lovely clothes and shoes I bought. Be a dear and come and help me pack them into the caravan, love.
Carmen, dear.
Yeah, your narrator's back again. Let's leave our manly mate and head back into the tent to see what dastardly deeds Mighty Moa's cooking up.
Ah, who is that just came in?
Oh dear, narrator me again. Just me, Mighty Mo?
Not you, fool. I mean the character in the black turban with the evil eyes behind you.
Eh? Oh, my word. Aye, who are you?
Aye, filthy infidel. Are the incomparable Osama bin Liner. I wear black to represent the blackest soul on earth of my lord and master Mighty Mo.
Osama, my dear, dear man, come in, come in. I didn't recognize you.
Huh, still repeating yourself every time you see me, I see.
You are such an imposing person that I have to say everything twice to impress on everyone how much I value your presence.
Ah, you golden-tongued devil, you. So, Mighty Mo, what are you up to these days?
Oh, Osama, you'll get a laugh out of this. I've become a prophet.
You a prophet? You mean you finally made a profit on that business your wife gave you?
No, 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 you silly old boy. I mean, I have branched out into the religion business and invented my own new religion. Oh, I love it. I get to decide the rules, and I'm making some wonderful ones up as I go.
Why, you clever chap, what do you call this new religion?
Islam.
You slam what, old boy?
No, no, no. I don't slam anything, you silly man. The name of my religion is Islam. I-S-L-A-M.
Oh, dear, what a silly name for a religion. Look, old chap, why don't you take a tip from an old marketing guru? Change that name. It's so boring.
Oh, dear listener, that doesn't sound good. We all know how Mighty Mo hates any criticism. Will Osama bin Laden manage to keep his head on his shoulders? Listen in next week, and we'll find out if Annie gets all her clothes into the caravan or if she just likes getting them off. Or will Foster have to hire another caravan? Do camels have humps? Not sure why I really asked that. Ignore it, dear listener. I think I need a drink. Stay cool, and listen in next week to...
Mighty Mo!
This is Mike Holt, your host on the Restore Australia radio show. Welcome back. And what I was talking about before brings us to the question, is there an enabling act or piece of legislation that gives Australia's political parties legitimacy? Have Australia's political parties got a legal right that allows them to force their own members of parliament to vote according to the party line on legislation before the parliament? Why aren't all votes taken on the floor, conscience votes, according to the will of the people?
After all, that's what they are supposed to be in Parliament for, to serve the will of the people, aren't they? Australia is supposed to have a democratic Parliament. The party line, of course, is used as a euphemism for the commands that come from the party's caucus or its leader. After all, Australia is a democracy and has laws against forcing or manipulating the votes of politicians in Parliament. But the political parties are ignoring that and forcing us to do their will. So, do Australia's political parties have blanket or overriding exemption from particular pieces of legislation, such as the Crimes Act and Criminal Code Act, that deal with the crimes of interfering with political liberty? Unwarranted demands placed on or from a politician, bribery of and by politicians, corrupting benefits given to or received by a politician, abuse of public office by a politician, and the obstruction of a politician's functions are no longer relevant when it comes to the government? To answer these questions, the history of Australia's political parties has to be considered, and the legislation that affects them has to be examined. Now, as I mentioned before, political parties exist in Australia because they existed under the British Westminster parliamentary system, which is the system of parliament used here due to this country being colonised by Britain. Political parties came into existence in Britain through the banding together of politicians who had similar ideals and beliefs that often led them to vote the same way on legislation that came before them in Parliament. Now, this goes back hundreds of years. There was no particular instant whereby legislation was created in order to bring political parties into existence and to give them legitimacy. In other words, political parties created themselves and continued to rule us simply because they could. In Australia, political parties were not even mentioned in the Australian Constitution, as I said before, until 1977, and the referendum on casual Senate vacancies. Now, basically, Australians' political parties are social groups regulated by common law that relates to associations, as well as some state and federal laws that deal with things like taxpayer funding for elections, political broadcasting and advertising, and disclosure of donations. Our political parties do, of course, have their own much-touted, self-authored codes of conduct, but these have no legal standing and are therefore abused and ignored continually. Amazingly, there is no enabling act or legislation that makes Australian political parties legal. No act that gives them legitimacy. We've just accepted them because they're there. There are sections in the Commonwealth Electoral Act of 1918 which deal with the registration of political parties and give brief interpretations or descriptions of a political party and an ineligible or eligible political party, but they do not provide legitimacy. They are simply rules governing something that already exists, albeit illegitimately. Now, the current way in which Australia's political parties force their members of Parliament to vote according to the demands of the party when voting on legislation in Parliament is not only morally reprehensible, but according to our laws, illegal, as there is no overall exempting legislation or specific exemptions listed for political parties. And what makes them illegal? Well, the Crimes Act of 1914, Part 2, Offences Against the Government. Read Section 28. The Criminal Code Act 1995, Schedule Section 3, Part 7.5, and Part 139.1. Part 7.6 of Bribery and Related Offences, parts in there that you need to read, and so on and so forth. I could go on because there are more. The fact is, our government has no legitimacy. The only reason it exists is because We the people have been fooled for so many years into believing that the only system available is the one that we inherited from the British. Nobody's ever questioned this before. Why not? It's about time we did. I predict that this next election is going to be very interesting. There are going to be a lot of independents running, and I encourage you to vote for independents. Let's show the political parties that not only have they lost the support of the people, they are illegitimate. They are bastards, in other words. And I will leave you with that thought in mind. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show today, and I look forward to seeing you next Thursday at the same time. Thank you.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time. And here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your death.